सर्वभूतास्तम आत्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि भिक्षते योगायुक्तात्मा सर्वत्र समदर्शनः सर्वभूतास्तम आत्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि भिक्षते योगायुक्तात्मा सर्वत्र समदर्शनः सर्वभूतास्तम आत्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि भिक्षते योगायुक्तात्मा सर्वत्र समदर्शनः सर्वभूतास्तमात्मानम् Anyone else would like to try? Otherwise, we start with the translation. Madhu, Kupalpu, would you like to carry with the class? Yeah, I was. You have to. So Madhu Kupal will be giving the class. Thank you.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 6, Jhana Yoga, text number 29. So, I'll read the word for word. Please repeat. Sarva Bhutastam. Situated in all beings. Atmanam. The Supersoul. Sarva. All. Bhutani, entities, cha, also, admani, in the self, ikshate, dasi, yoga yukta atma, one who is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, sarvatra, everywhere. Samadarshana, seeing equally. Translation: a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Purport. A Krishna conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Supersoul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ridesha Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord in his Paramatma Vichar is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the Supersoul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows. Atata vachcha matrivachcha atmahi paramoharihi. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the supreme father or mother is also. Consequently, the super soul is always in every living being. Outwardly also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in the 7th chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior nature, by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in Him in one way or another. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations, according to the results of fruit of work, in all circumstances, remain the servants of God. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadhutam Parijana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bhando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nang Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Sri Vasadi Ghaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktadma Sarvatra Sama Darshanaha. Sama Darshana, that is an important word, seeing equally. And we also had this verse in the 5th verse. Anybody remembers that verse? Because I forgot it. Sunichaiva Sva Pakacha. Sunichaiva Sva Pakacha. Geva Hasani. Should I look it up? Are you looking it up? Huh? No, no, it's in the fifth chapter. I think that's how it starts. Suniceva Svapakacha. No, that's not how it starts. Because the translation is a learned and a very humble brahmana. He sees with equal vision a dog, a cow, a brahmana, a dog eater. And that equal vision, that means samadarshana, pandita samadarshana. Yeah, there used to be this, I don't know if it's still there, there used to be this picture in Bhagavad Gita. I don't think they... And it is a very nice picture. It's in another version. Oh, you have the big version? So then it should say which verse it is, no? No, no, that is another one. That is another one. No, no, that's not it. No, it's not in this one. Right. How does it start? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmana Gaivi Hastini Suniceva Svapakacha Pandita Samadarshina. Can you give the translation? Which verse is it? Yeah. Go ahead. So 5:18. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmana Gaivi Hastini Suniceva Svapakacha Pandita Samadarshana. So that verse, we should know that verse. Samadarshana, so same word here. Humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Yeah. So, yeah, that is, here is called the humble sage, Brahmana Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Pandita, the Pandit. So the translation here, the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every living being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Purport. A Krishna-conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhuta Anang Rideja Arjuna Tishtati. So that is another very important verse. The Lord, in his Paramatma feature, is situated in both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. So Prabhupada also indirectly here refers to that verse 5:18. And this verse, I will also look it up. That is also a very, very important verse. Yeah, that is 1861. That is almost at the end, just before the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaye arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine, yantra, made of the material energy. Maya, yeah, the material energy. So that is from 1861. Ishvara, Sarva Bhutanam. Ishvara means the Supreme Lord. Sarva Bhutanam, of all living entities, he is Riddhesh. Desh means, like here you have Radha Desh. Desh means a country. So Riddhesh means sitting in the heart. Rit means heart. It's almost the same word. Rit, heart, heart, rit is practically the same. Tishtati resides. He resides in the location, in the desh of the rit. Yeah, so we have an atma, and then there is paramatma. This is the Sanskrit language. It's very mathematical. Like you have an umbrella. In Holland, we have the French word, parapluie. Pluie means rain, and para means above. So here the same. Atma means the self, the soul. And paramatma is the higher soul, or as Prabhupada translates it, super soul. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a brahmana. Yeah, so that's very important. Some philosophers, they say that it's all one, and that God is this energy. And indirectly that means actually that God is, he is like kind of becoming part of the material energy. So that is not the case. It's very, if you don't know these literatures, these books, especially Bhagavad Gita and also Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot really figure it out. The way how it's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam is, well, first of all, the whole list of different avatars is given. Krishna is the source of all avatars. Lord Brahma, he's stating that in the Brahma Sangita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. Or what is that? Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. That is what Lord Brahma says. So, and then in the Bhagavatam it says, after all these avatars has been given, of which Krishna is the cause, then this verse is given, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabyate. So you have three aspects of the Supreme Truth. Supreme Truth being Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So the first aspect, or you could say the third, depending on from which side you are looking. If you're looking from Krishna's side, it would be the third. If you're looking from, let's say, from the outside in, like we're sitting in this world and we're trying to discover who is Krishna, then the Brahman is the first stage. Brahman means the spiritual energy of Krishna. Is it described that the Brahman energy, the Brahman light, it's coming from Krishna's body, and it emanates throughout the whole of existence, spiritual existence, and then there is a cloud where Mahavishnu resides, and there's the material world, and there that supreme divine light is shining through. And then there is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the localized aspect of Lord Krishna. The way it's constructed is that Lord Krishna expands himself into the Chaturvyuha, and then they expand themselves, and then again expand it, and then you have Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu enters this Mahatattva, this kind of cloud of material energy. And there he lays down, and by his sleeping, all these different universes come out of his pores. And every universe is like a, it's like, it's called a Brahmanda, it's like an egg. And then Mahavishnu expands himself and he enters his Garbhadakasai Vishnu. Garbha means womb. So Garbhadakasai Vishnu, actually he gets, Garbhadakasai, he enters that universe, and the universe is described that is basically half of water. It's called the Garbha Ocean. It's at the bottom of the universe. It's the direction of the South Pole. South Pole is the lower side of the universe, and the North Pole is the higher side. So you want to go to the heavenly planets, then you go direction North Pole and then up. You want to go to the hellish planets or lower planets, then you go to the South Pole and down. So down there is the Garbhadaka ocean. And that is where Garbhadaka Sai Vishnu is laying down. And from his navel, this lotus grows. And from this lotus, Lord Brahma is born. And he is the so-called creator of this universe. We sometimes refer to Lord Brahma as the architect, because he's just kind of moving different things around. He's not really creating. The things are already there. He's creating some things. Still, the building blocks there are already there. And he's populating the universe. That's his main job. So, another expansion is Kshiradaka Sai Vishnu. And that is the super soul. He also has his own planet. It's on the pole star. And Kshiradaka Sai Vishnu, he enters every single atom of the material universe. Because in the spiritual world, everything is Krishna conscious. So it's a little different. Or, you know, there's different planets there also. You have a planet of Narsingadev, and you have a planet of Varahadev. So many different planets are there. So in the material universe, then there's a little different arrangement. So Kshiradaka Sai Vishnu, he is in every atom, and he's also in our heart. It's described like that. So that is the second God realization, that God is not only an energy, he is also a localized entity sitting in every atom, sitting in our heart. And then, of course, he is also Bhagavan. He is the one who possesses all six opulences in full. That is Lord Krishna. That is what is explained in the Bhagavatam and what is also being confirmed by Lord Brahma. So, here today is mainly focusing on that second aspect, the localized aspect or the super soul. So we should make the distinction between the three. Otherwise, yeah, it's actually offensive. It's actually it's an insult. Because Krishna is a person. He's a person like you and me. The difference with Krishna and us is he's a spiritual person. Janma karma chame divyam. His janma and his karma are divyam, spiritual. Like we have a soul. Soul is spiritual. So Krishna's body is made of that substance. And our body, that is what is explained, is the inferior energy. Bones, blood, pus. It's a lower kind of energy. Like you have electricity. And electricity, it can make a fridge, and it's very cold. And it can make also a heat, very hot. It's the same energy, it's just different. So one is considered sub-zero, below zero, and one is above zero. So it's just an example, just to give you an idea that in one sense it's the same energy, still it's completely different. So we have to make that distinction. And the idea, as I explained it the other day also, that is another thing, because I'm giving you this very intimate, secret information about Brahman, spiritual energy, localized aspect of God, and then the personal aspect of God. This is exclusive energy that basically only we have. We have it from these books. Then another thing which is more or less exclusive is that there is a mind, intelligence, and ego. So, So the super soul, he's sitting in the heart, that is the soul. And we have that subtle body, so to speak, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And so we identify with that as being real. And it is actually not real. That's why we are conditioned. And the conditioning is that we think we are this body. But we are, like it's explained here, that we are a soul, servant of Krishna. And that is what the yogi sees. He sees that everybody has a soul, and therefore he sees equal. At the same time, we have to see the difference. Like I said, there's different energies. So it's a matter of consciousness. Like this movement is called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it all has to do with consciousness. And like I explained, we have a material mind, material intelligence, material ego or false ego. And it's a matter of degree. Like a tree is a huge ego. It's very covered. It's like sleeping. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita. These pictures actually, they are there. No, this is something else. Anyway, it's explained that the soul is very much covered in the tree. And then in the animal life, it's a little less covered. The consciousness is already more advanced. And then in the human form, then we have the opportunity to actually understand this knowledge that I'm sharing with you now. I'm just sharing it. It's not my own knowledge. It's the knowledge that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada and by his disciples, and ultimately by Lord Krishna, directly to Narada Muni. Narada Muni gave it to Vyasadev, and Vyasadev, Narada Muni got it from Lord Brahma. And Vyasadev, he wrote it down. You must have heard of him if you are a little bit spiritual. Vyasadev is the compiler of the Vedas. So he wrote it down, and then there's a whole line of different teachers that gave us this knowledge. So anyway, the idea is that it's just a degree of covering, mainly by false ego. And sometimes, or you could also say ignorance. So ignorance also is sometimes understood as that you ignore Krishna. You're simply ignoring him. Like the word Maya, this is the material energy. Maya also means that which is not. So actually everything is Krishna's energy. At the same time, we kind of left Krishna's association in the spiritual world, and we, because of illicit desire, because of a desire that was separated from Krishna, we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. In other words, we wanted to be the enjoyer. In the spiritual world, everybody is the servant of Krishna, and we wanted to also be the enjoyer. How it exactly is, we don't know exactly. Generally, how it is explained is that due to some kind of desire in the heart, and then it results in some offense, some aparat, some, you know, behavior that is not completely on par, completely pure. And then if you don't check that, if you don't apologize, then it gets worse and worse, and then gradually you get removed. So that is basically our situation. That basically, due to our offensive nature, we left Lord Krishna, and that is now why we are covered by this false ego. We're basically ignoring Krishna because you can't really enjoy separately from Krishna, because everything is Krishna's energy. So Krishna is very merciful that he made this material world in such a way that we think that we are separated from Krishna. So this is it's called the illusory energy. It has a covering potency, and it can cover us. It also has a kind of a punishing potency. The point is that we think that we are separated from Krishna. But this is where it gets tricky, because some of these philosophers that I was discussing is called Mayavadis, because they think everything is Maya. And it's not exactly like that. Like I said, ultimately everything is Krishna's energy, but then there's separated energies. Like I have my hand, and then I have my nails and my hairs. So the nails and my hairs is like separated from my body. But my hand is directly my body. So Krishna also has different energies. So we you could say that we are like the hairs and the nails of Krishna, and that somehow or other we got separated from Krishna. So there's different energies. It's not that it's all one and the same energy. That is just if you think about it clearly, that is a ridiculous proposal, because there's no such thing anywhere. You know, everything has gradations. It's different. There's variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. How long can you enjoy, you know, everything the same? Because it is possible. It's called spiritual suicide. It's not that you can become one with that light. It's very difficult, by the way. It's practically impossible in this age. We discussed it last time. The idea is that the soul, it's a tiny speck of consciousness. And you can just kill everything. That is basically what the Buddhists are doing and these so-called Mayavadis. You just kill the ego, the mind, the intelligence, and then you just give everything up. And then all that remains is this tiny speck of consciousness. And it enters that spiritual world. And that's it. It's just one tiny piece of light. Like the sun, it's so many light particles. So you become a spiritual light particle. You are already a spiritual light particle. So therefore it's considered spiritual suicide. Because that is not really what you're supposed to be. What you're supposed to be is that spiritual light particle actually has a body. It has a spiritual body. That's why it's called spiritual suicide. Because you factually deny the body. Because that's what they think, that this is a material body. So I have to give it up. I have to become spiritual. So then they think, well, I have to give up this body. So then I will not get a spiritual body. They cannot conceive of that because they have no information. So they think that they have to become bodiless. So that is possible. It is possible. So that is just a very kind of boring state of existence. And ultimately, generally, all these souls, they will have to come down again because they don't have this rasa, this relationship, because that's what we want. We want to have relationships. And in the material world, it culminates, of course, in sex, in the relationship between man and woman. That is the materially the highest enjoyment. But that is not really enjoyment. Real enjoyment is spiritual enjoyment, because the relationship between man and woman is based on the body. So therefore it can never really make us happy. And that is a perverted kind of reflection of what's going on in the material world. Because in the material world there's also these relationships. And there's all kinds of relationships between father and Krishna, and friend and Krishna, and servant and Krishna, and also lover and Krishna. So all these different relationships are there. And this is kind of a perverted reflection of that. So I have to stop there. We could go deeper into the purport. I just wanted to stress that we don't get it confused that, oh, it's all one and everything is equal. I just wanted to very clearly explain it, how intricate the whole thing is constructed. You know, I explained Mahavishnu, Garbhadakasaya Vishnu, Kshiradakasaya Vishnu, like that. So if there's any question, then we can take one question. Otherwise, I'll just... Yes? Yeah. Yeah, so everyone in the material world and the spiritual world, and also in the Brahmajyoti, they have a relationship with Krishna. So here in the spiritual world, there's still some chance that we can read Bhagavad Gita or, you know, the Bible or the Quran. There are so many chances that you can have some relationship with Krishna, with God. In the Brahmajyoti, that possibility is almost non-existent, because it's just energy, spiritual light. So there's almost nothing. That's why it's called spiritual suicide. But the relationship is intrinsic. It's inside. Like, you know, my father, he left last year, but I'm still his son. That will never change. I will always be my father's son. So it's like that. The spiritual light, it's there in the spiritual world, but they're still part and parcel of Krishna. The relationship is still there. It's just that they forgot about it. Is that right? Not completely? No? Why not? Yeah, that's different. That is like cows and plants. That is different. That is like santaras. In the Brahmajyoti, there is no such thing as rasa. Like in the material world, like I explained, there's perverted reflections of those five rasas, which was also explained this morning in the class. That's perverted. And in the Brahmajyoti, there is no rasa. It's just that's what I explained. That's why they had to fall down. Right? It's not so difficult. We have to stop, Rahul. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. We have to stop. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.